Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36, these are God's words. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past, and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him. Whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment it shall be done to him. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another's, so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox, and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in time past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, in the previous passage, we saw laws for dealing with murder. And they were applying, of course, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, or thou shalt not kill, but that particular word for kill, meaning murder, and we saw that in the previous passage here. In Exodus 21 as well, but is also applying a part of the moral law that was commanded with the prescribed penalty in Genesis chapter 9, which is that he who sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, because man is made in the image of God. Well, the previous verse to that in Genesis chapter 9 said that God would require of man, the blood of man, if he sheds it, and of beast. And so it is part of keeping the moral law that an animal, it's part of an application of the moral law, rather, in civil law, in statute law, or case law, for Israel, that an animal that kills a person must be put to death. The fact that animals do not premeditate, so it's not murder, does not spare them from the penalty, because the animal is not made in the image of God. There's a great difference in the narrative of Genesis chapter 1, where animals and even plant life, etc., are created according to their kind, each according to their kind. But of man, this according to their kind language is not used, because man is made in the image of God and according to his likeness. It's a great difference between man and the rest of the creation, the rest of the creatures. And so this is honored in God's moral law. Here we see the difference between an ox that kills a man and an ox that kills an animal. The ox that kills the animal, the ox that kills the other ox, it can remain alive and it can be sold and it can be used, but the ox that kills a man must be killed, and the man who owned it cannot benefit from it. Its flesh cannot be eaten. it is being executed for taking the life of a man. God demands a reckoning for man's blood. Another principle we see here is that criminal negligence is culpable, but not to the level of murder. In verse 29, we see that the owner might be put to death for the manslaughter if he knew that his ox was this aggressive type. If the ox had shown its aggressiveness before, he would be put to death. But he could be redeemed from that penalty. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him. Now, in the case of murder, this actually wasn't allowed. Numbers 35:31 said that a murderer could not pay any sum of money to redeem his life. And so you see God making distinctions for Israel. This is where we get our distinction between a kind of second degree or third degree, I don't know which it is, murder, where there's criminal negligence that leads to death, that is not the same as a premeditated and intentional murder of planning or hostility. The Lord permits the one whose criminal negligence has led to the death of another, because it was negligence, to pay instead a great sum of money and redeem his life rather than being executed. So God demands a reckoning for man's life, even from beasts. Criminal negligence is culpable. That means it's guilty and it should be punished. But it is not the same as the premeditated killing of murder. And then in the third place, one of the things we see here is that women are valued as much as men are, which, again, in ancient Near Eastern law is extraordinary. But it goes back to Genesis 9:6 and Genesis chapter 1, where women are made not in the image of the man, they are taken from the man, but they are made in the image of God. And so they are valued the same as a man. Their work is not necessarily valued the same. We'll see that later. At least their service in other society. Their work as a wife or a mother is valued more. We've already started to see that a little bit with the special law for the pregnant woman who is accidentally harmed and gives birth early and so forth. The bearing of image bearers is esteemed very highly by God. But because man and woman are made in the image of God, women are valued, their life, their personal worth is valued as much as a man's. And so when it says, if it has killed a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, verse 29. Whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him, verse 31. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to his master, etc. In verse 32. And so you note that the 30 shekels of silver is attached to the fact that the person is made in the image of God. This, by the way, is higher than any other compensation in the ancient Near East. There are other law codes where you compensate for a servant and you're only compensating for the labor in that case. And you don't compensate as much for women. But even for the men, some of the laws required 15 shekels. Some of the laws required 20 shekels. And of course, the whatever is imposed on him of verse 30 may even be higher than that. You see here that this is not just treating people as resources, people as objects, the way a communist state would do and the way all murderers do. So even for the male servants, it's 50% more than anybody else and 100% more than some others. And those are the ones that we know of. But the female servants are given the same valuation because it is according to their worth as a person, a penalty for negligence. Again, note that this is for negligence, not just murder. If it's premeditated murder, the penalty is death, and they cannot be redeemed. So this is the third principle we see here, that God's society values women as much as it does men, values daughters as much as it does sons. So God demands a reckoning for man's blood from beasts. Criminal negligence is culpable, but not the same as murder. God's society values women as much as it does men. And negligence, criminal negligence is culpable, not just in the destruction of life, but also in the destruction of property. And that's, you can see that in verses 33 through 36. The guy with a pit who is supposed to cover it, and cover it in such a way that can support the weight of an animal that can't read a sign. There is a pit here, right? The donkey can't read a sign. The ox can't read a sign. So they had to put boards over it or something that could sustain an animal walking across it and not falling into it. This was a lot more necessary in their culture. It's not like, when I was in first grade trying to dig to China little by little in recess until the teacher discovered the depth of the pit that we had created and was alarmed and forbade the continuation of it, and the school had to fill it in, probably using a backhoe, not even a shovel. I don't know what they did, but the pit was gone. No, they had to use pits for storing things that needed to be kept cool. They used it for keeping all sorts of foodstuffs and so on. There were many different things that they needed pits for, so that was a big part of their society. But you could be criminally negligent in endangering someone else's property of being damaged. And so also, you see that if with the ox that was known to gore, if the owner didn't do enough to confine it and restrain it so that it was able to gore another animal, then he would lose his animal. Or if it gored another ox, he would lose his ox, and he would get the dead one. It's not the same as manslaughter. Man is protected by God in a way that oxen aren't. His family would have a great, perhaps sad feast because they had the dead ox and now you have to eat it. It can't plow for you anymore. But the one who had lost his ox would get the live one, and so forth. So God wants us to be careful and thoughtful not only of others' lives, but also of others' property. What that means is that touching or using someone else's thing without asking is stealing, but also that if someone lets you borrow something and you don't take good care of it, that's also stealing, right? Because you're expected to have a regard for other people's property. So those principles in these nine verses of case law, God demands a reckoning for man's blood from beasts as much as from men. Criminal negligence is culpable, but when someone dies of criminal negligence, it doesn't rise to the level of murder. God's society values women as much as men, and we are expected to be thoughtful and careful of others' property, not just their lives. Negligence is culpable in the destruction of property, not just life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us not only how to know you and how to belong to you, the way you want your church to operate, but for also giving us an example of what it looks like when a people in a society have laws and rules that come from the knowledge of you. We pray, Lord, first and foremost, that you'd make each of us to know you as you yourself present yourself in the scriptures, and that you would make us to love you and obey you, And we do pray for the pouring out of your Spirit, that many would be snatched from the flames of hell, that many would be delivered from the power of the devil, that many would be brought into the knowledge of you, so that the society's desires as a whole would be to live according to your law, your moral law, as fleshed out in civil law that reflects it. Help us, O God, we are so needy. So we ask for these things that seem so far away from where we are right now. And yet, O God, you are merciful, you are powerful, and you have shown us those things most in Christ, who even now rules in heaven. And so we pray that he would be submitted to on earth, even in his own name. Amen.